your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 9th of April, 2025, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. Today is Wednesday. I'm expecting a Man Down Mashup Wednesday with Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Murray joins me to talk about what's in the news. We've got first things first. Tomorrow, Guardian Talk Radio is having an anniversary. Tomorrow, Guardian Talk Radio is having an anniversary, and On the Clock with Aaron Green is giving out some On the Clock personalized merchandise and a little trivia tomorrow. In fact, we're going to have a little Family Island trivia. I'm going to announce formally the competition and award being offered by a local listener for a student, junior high or senior high, to conduct some research and locate an important document. So we're going to make that announcement tomorrow. We're going to have a couple of giveaways, some personalized, on-the-clock, personalized merchandise to give away to listeners. Tomorrow is going to be a big day, and I'm looking forward to it. Also, don't forget tonight, Wednesday, the 9th of April, 2025, at 6 p.m., the exhibition Sovereign is taking place at Ponciana Paper Press, 12 Park Gate Road, where you can come out and see all of the work that Equality Bahamas has done during the work of the month of March. Signs and other material from the International Women's Day March and Expo 2025. The pro-abortion green wave bandanas and prints of the Cutlass Woman with quotes from material developed by Bahamian women suffragists. If you see me today, I am wearing one of those images on my t-shirt. Lots of lovely things. There's also going to be a short talk with artists after the event. It's going to be a good time tonight, 9th of April, 6 p.m., Ponciana Paper Press, number 12, Park Gate Road. Well, I don't think I saw it in the papers today, not on the front page. I thought this would have been front page news. Maybe I'm mistaken. But New Providence had a power outage last night. It's the first one in a long time. I was very, very scared when the power went off. And then I started seeing messages popping up from across the island. Not just Nassau, the whole of New Providence, right? It appeared was off in this power outage. Why was I scared? I mean, should I be scared? We're in a new energy era, right? We've got Pike. I mean, we had Pike. I don't know if we still have Pike. But I thought we was never going to have a power outage again in this life, except for scheduled maintenance. You know, so I was very scared, especially since I made all kind of commentary yesterday about how the people on the family island are dangerously close to waking up in a pre-1992 Bahamas. See, some of y'all don't know what that feels like. Y'all don't know a time when you as a young person was expected to do everything you had to do, schoolwork, homework, community work, whether the power was on or not. And you didn't know when the power was going to be on or when it was going to be off or on. You didn't know. You just had to hope. You just had to guess, hope for the best. You know, that's what many of us grew up with. Constant fear that the power went out. And then when my power came on relatively quickly, maybe after an hour plus, my power came back on. And then it started thundering, and I say, BPL back to that preemptive shutdown. Hey, maybe it's a preemptive shutdown. Maybe they knew the rain was coming. See, y'all don't understand. Many of us grew up in the Bahamas where if there was thunder, with the singing bishop say, if there was thundering in and lightning in, then you know the power is about to go off. And so I'm going to read quickly. Is it island-wide? That's what I named the segment last night as I wrote In the Dark. Bahamas Power and Light outage notice. Bahamas Power and Light advises that a generation issue at Station A at the Clifton Pier Power Station has led to outages in parts of New Providence this evening. This is not an island-wide outage. However, to protect the remaining units still online, BPL has opened select feeders, which may have caused outages in additional areas. Our teams are currently working to restore generation. Initial estimates suggest it may take at least an hour to stabilize supply and begin full restoration. Further updates will be provided as available. So, in my little research last night, areas that seem to have been affected, St. Anne's constituency, Carmichael Road, Marshall Road, Coral Harbor, Delaport to South Ocean, Blair, Prospect Ridge, Foxdale, Cable Beach, Love Beach, the airport. I got reports that the airport was down as well. Producer, let's prep that caller. I'm coming to you in a second. So, BPL said that to protect the remaining units still online, BPL has opened select feeders, which may have caused outages in additional areas. If all these people was off, who was on? Which areas were prioritized? And tell us what that process looks like. How do you determine which areas will be prioritized in what y'all call this? Load sharing exercise. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Well, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
Let me try to take a stab at that question. A friend of mine, Cable Beach Strip by the hotel, says he is rarely off, if ever.
I know this is what I thought. So when the people say, when three people posted in response to my questions across social media that Cable Beach was off, that Delaport to South Ocean was off, I was like, ooh, this is a big one.
Yeah, what are we doing to prepare for the big one? You know, I really didn't want to call, but I had to as the self-proclaimed Minister of Potholes in 2008, and then Jeff Lloyd moved me up to the Minister of Utilities when he was on radio. And so I figured as the minister I should call.
But you could, I think it's fair, are you the Shadow Minister for Energy and Transport in the COI?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to wait until all is revealed. Sometimes you don't show your hand too early when you're playing cards.
I got you.
I know I've been speaking about it from way back.
Yeah, well before you established a political career.
Yeah. So it's nothing new. We could have, from 2008 till now, put solar on pretty much every rooftop in the country, providing thousands of careers, not jobs, in this energy sector. We could have floated into liquid natural gas barges, one down there on the north behind the fish fry, and one down by the Defense Force Base, putting out 300 to 400 megawatts each. That's double the energy we need. And we could have charged the cruise ships to use our clean fuel instead of whatever dirty thing they may be burning, who knows, when in our port, because that's not healthy for us. And that would help subsidize and pay for it. But you know what? Last night is just a sample. You know, when you put your toe in the water and say, if it cool, it kind of cool. Because I don't know, what have we done to prepare for something catastrophic happening in our country, as it always does at a certain time of the year?
Listen,
I don't want to put mout on it.
I want to thank you, Graham.
You
brought some sensible questions. I actually would prefer to remain drunk from the moment that I saw Pike on the road. And Pike had staff dedicated to traffic management. You know, like our regulations say that when you are conducting roadworks or some sort of maintenance that obstructs the flow of traffic, that you're supposed to have a traffic team to guide traffic safely past your work, right? But we rarely see that here locally. So when I saw Pike staff directing traffic with signs and with smiles, I got drunk. I'm intoxicated. I was in love with them. Intoxicated. And I want to linger. I wanted to linger just a little bit longer so I could be in love with them. Producer, you call? No? All right. So, oh, yeah. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing? Good morning, Bahamas.
Good, thank you. How are you?
You know, I'm pretty good, Aaron. I think we don't have to call this last night because when that current went off, electricity went off, when I was watching the Lincoln game, I thought it was going to go up all night. But for us, it came on about 15, 20 minutes later.
Okay.
I don't know how much is affected other areas. But, Aaron, I want to just touch briefly on a lot of this public commentary I'm hearing concerning the adverse or what type of effects that we would have in respect to the tariff that the Trump administration placed on the Bahamas government. I hear a lot of people talking. I heard Al Peters, Minister of State for Finance, and I heard Garvin Bo, I've heard the professor, John Rule.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I'm not a financial expert, but I can say that none of them making any sense. And they're not giving any concrete regs, I'm suggesting, that can protect the Bahamas going forward, or basically the citizens who would feel most of the backlash. You know, why can't we basically look at this DOGE concept that the United States government is doing? What's wrong with
that? Okay, pause. I can tell you exactly why. I can tell you why we can't look at the DOGE concept that the United States is doing. Because we already have the legislative and statutory mechanisms in place to do exactly what DOGE is doing. That's why. Hold on, pause. That's why. Because we already have everything that Musk did with DOGE, we already have those mechanisms in place. So what is it about DOGE that is especially attractive to you, considering we could already do everything that Musk was able to do with DOGE right now?
Okay, what is attractive to me is the wastage that they are discovering.
Okay, pause. Stop.
Okay.
So, you could discover those who are responsible could also discover the wastage if we figured out how to compel them to do what they know they ought to do when they know they ought to do it. So, you see what I'm saying? There's nothing special or different about DOGE compared to our system. Anything that Musk was able to do, we can already do now.
Yeah, but the point is, we're not doing it.
Okay, so that's a separate point. So that's a separate point, right? The separate point is, why is it with all of the mechanisms available in law, and I don't even want to use the word available because that suggests that it's subjective, like you could decide to use it or not, right? But with all of the legislative mechanisms provided by the Constitution and described in ordinary legislation, why is it that we see no enforcement, right? That's a separate point. See, because what DOGE did, right, is that DOGE ignored the laws that we have, right? Like, we have a set of laws that are not being used. DOGE went in and said, I don't care about the rest of the laws. I have the authority. I could do what I want. See, DOGE was not as good as we think it was. But more importantly, we don't need a DOGE. We already have those mechanisms in place.
Yeah, but Aaron,
so how do you and I compel our peers and our elder statesmen and members of the political class to do what they ought to do when they know they ought to do it?
The only way this could work, Aaron, is to start prosecuting fights and sending them to jail. You see, because no matter how much you advocate, the arrogance in these individuals, they know when they are wrong, you know, but they are just blatant in their disregard for our finances and the citizenry at large. I mean, one of the most painful things you can experience is when you go up there and you see all people are sitting down waiting to be treated for dialysis, their dialysis situation. I mean, one of the most painful things you can see is when you go into that PMH hospital and you see people sitting down on benches in pain or laying on gurneys waiting for beds. If that isn't enough to motivate these so-called politicians who are wasting our money, blatantly wasting it and doing whatever they want to do. If you really want to see something, you travel and you go and you see how these consulate generals and things are living in the United States.
Okay. I can stick a pin right there. Let us be careful to stay away from conversation about individual people, right? Because guess what? Sometimes you speak it in code and I don't know what you're speaking about. But here I am letting you say something that may be breaching the line of standards on the public airwaves. But we don't need DOGE. In fact, let's understand that DOGE has gone, like, if not pressed the boundary of the policies that empower it to the hilt, it's gone beyond the scope of its authority in the work that it's doing. Also, DOGE is not identifying and prosecuting people, right? Like, the people who are responsible. So to apply it to this dynamic is not necessarily the best. All right, I got some texts here. Since you already acknowledged that there's nothing wrong with showing images of or photos of female breasts and bare fronts to children. Texter, why are you on the radio lying? Why would you lie? Don't come to the event. Don't come. You think that all the little girls them are fast and right and all they want is sex and don't come to the event. Don't bring that attitude with you to the event. Good morning. The state of Bay Street from Rawson Square to PIA has been dug up for almost 2 months with no urgency for being fixed. You keep waiting. Either the underground works, as the text also shared yesterday. Yeah, don't hold your breath. Here's a text, DOGE. I have 100% confidence in Franklin Wilson to form powerful alliances, negotiate deals, and to make money for himself. I have zero confidence in Franklin Wilson and Pike to execute any positive change in our power landscape since the saga of Fred Ramsey, the convicted BEC bribe taker. There appears to have been too many undisclosed deals swirling around our power infrastructure. That was so polite. How politely he said that. Remember Bannister firing the entire board over a disputed contract award? I said a month ago when electricity went out on a warmer than usual day, quote, here we go again, last night was a warmer than usual night. I didn't hear a single thunder crack or see a lightning flash. It happened a little later after the power came back on. Look forward to continuous outages this spring and summer, but Franklin Wilson. Okay, I'm not going to read the rest of the text, but I got your sentiment. Okay, so here was my prediction last night to somebody. If the FNM wins, we're in big trouble because in terms of the energy continuity, consistency, because a transition of administrations always presents a stop, review, cancel element, always. If the PLP win the election, I think we may actually have power, consistent power. I'm just not sure if anybody could afford it. Right? That's what it is. But you did say something, Texter. Alstom. Like Graham Weatherford, I've been running on the radio for a long time. One of the things I've been running on about is Alstom. Remember, Texter said Fred Ramsey is found guilty of receiving a bribe, several charges, similar related charges. But he was a member of the board. He was not in a position to make decisions. And then there's Bannister fire in the whole board. Then there was the 2018 fire, and we were waiting on the report, and then somebody leaked a small paragraph or two from the report, and then the people tell us, well, since they leaked the report, we ain't gonna never publish it. I paraphrase. They haven't published it, not under a name that a member of the general public could find. Y'all remember 2013? Whew. So many small vendors lost so much product because of the inconsistency in power supply. Here's another text. Doge is a disaster. They're breaking things. Not only are they breaking things, they've said breaking is their strategy. I've met people like this, do things quickly even if it generates a host of other problems. This framework has a place in some technology projects, not all. Someone has to make a determination if it's suitable. Rapid and breaking does not have a place when you're talking about people eating, getting health care, or paying their mortgages. You do not get to say, oops, I made a mistake when I fired you. Sorry you died because you lost your health care. Another text, I'm going to get to that story in a second. Okay, so the next thing I have on my notes, before I even saw today's paper, why are there no crime reports posted for the month of April? See, I was following up on this story, Body of Man Discovered on Paradise Island Beach, Nassau Guardian, 7th of April. Then I found autopsy being formed on body of tourist found on Paradise Island Beach, Eyewitness News, 8th of April, 2025. So I said, you know what? Let me go to the crime report. See, because the mother of this young tourist is alleging or saying that she suspects that her son, her child, is a victim of foul play. So I went to Royal Bahamas' website to look for a crime report. There are no crime reports posted for the month of April. So imagine my surprise when I open up today's papers and I see this story, police deny holding back information over crimes. You know, we still don't know the name of the person who was operating the vehicle assigned to a judge that was involved in a vehicular collision that resulted in a fatality, despite the individual purportedly speaking to the police and to the media, or the statements that they gave to the police were given to the media by the police. But we don't know the name of the person. And if the person did nothing wrong, then why don't we know their name? Police Commissioner Chantelouge yesterday defended the Royal Bahamas Police Force's public practices after officials failed to include an alleged rape involving a U.S. tourist in recent official crime reports. We don't hold information back from the public, she said yesterday. We make sure that everything that comes to our attention that is needed to be known to the public is known to the public. Close quote. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Yes, of course, there are things like you're in the middle of an investigation. Sharing some information may aid the suspect or the culprit in hiding evidence of their crime. So if the police start giving information at the press briefing, at the crime scene, that may aid, right? There's some information that you don't share. But this is not a police state. Let me tell you why it's not a police state. Y'all ain't that good at being police. That's the first thing. Y'all are not that good at it. Why would we endorse that? Second of all, we are the descendants of enslaved Africans, pinned into a plantation, hemmed up by neocolonial policies, still traumatized from the 400 years of the Maafa, the African Holocaust. 2 weeks ago, on the port at Zest Fest, we witnessed this young staff member leaving the port, very upset, very angry, talking to herself out loud, being followed by a police officer. The police officer was not telling her, "You're under arrest." Police officer was not telling her you are being detained, but the police officer is talking to her. She kept walking. She's angry. She's cussing. She's trying to get off the port, which made sense to me. You can't cuss on your job. But when you so upset that you can't butt cuss. You walk off the job for a minute. She's trying to get away. Calm herself down. The police officer just kept following her. I said to the police officer, mainly I was following her so I could stop her from hurting herself, causing a bigger problem for herself. She left the port. The police officer kept following her. She's angry. She's talking out loud. So I said to the officer, if you're not detaining her, see, I didn't say if you have no reason to detain her. That ain't what I said. I said, if you're not detaining her, you're not arresting her. And I wasn't questioning the why, but if you're not, let her go and air out, man. Let her go and calm down. If she has not committed a crime, why are you antagonizing her? She knows what she's supposed to do. She's supposed to leave the people them job if she wants us. She's supposed to get away from the port, the pristine center of tourism, all that is important to us. She's supposed to leave from there so she don't embarrass y'all, Ministry of Tourism. But the officer was policing her like she's not allowed to be angry. See what I'm saying? What a police state is? You're not allowed to be angry. You're not allowed to be upset. You certainly shouldn't show it. We quickly becoming a police state. I can continue reading from the article. We have to go to page 7 in today's Tribune. The comments came a day after a 25-year-old was charged with raping a 23-year-old American woman near Junkanoo Beach on April 1st. The incident was first reported by the Tribune last Thursday, but had not appeared in the police's daily crime summaries. I don't know where the Tribune getting the police's daily crime summaries from, because Royal Bahamas Police Force, in case nobody in the Ministry of Tourism, have a website that's supposed to be the primary depository of information. You're supposed to post on your website first and then post on social media. Anything that is accessed through a WhatsApp group should be posted on the website. And not your internal police WhatsApp group. But the things y'all be sharing on there shouldn't be shared either. What we doing, Squatty? We riding. Commissioner Knowles said the matter was not immediately reported to police and the alleged victim had traveled to another island before officers could take a statement. Quote, I cannot say why it was not in the crime report, but what I can say to you is that the matter was not initially reported right after the incident occurred, she said. We know that the victim had left the country, well, had left this island and was at another cruise port in the Bahamas, and we were able to catch up with that person and take the report. Prosecutors allege that a man had non-consensual sexual intercourse with the woman near the popular beach. You know what they call non-consensual sexual intercourse? They call it rape. And you save so much money because there's only four letters. With the woman near the popular beach. He appeared before Chief Magistrate Roberto Reckley and was not required to enter a plea. A voluntary bill of indictment is scheduled for July 24th. The alleged incident came just days after the U.S. Department of State updated its travel advisory for the Bahamas, citing multiple sexual assault reports involving watercraft vendors. The advisory warned that jet ski operators are poorly regulated and prohibited. Prohibited U.S. government personnel from using such services on New Providence and Paradise Island. Commissioner Knowles said police investigate all sexual assault complaints seriously, regardless of nationality. Quote, whether it's a tourist or Bahamian or a native of our island, none is held in a higher standard than the other, close quote, she said. Another story that I picked up yesterday, it's in today's Tribune. I found it yesterday on Eyewitness News platform. And I don't see it in today's Guardian. I'm going to read from the Tribune. Reserve officer accused of beating fourth grade student is before a police tribunal. A reserve police officer accused of beating a fourth grade student in front of classmates is before a police tribunal. Deputy Commissioner Kirkwood Andrews said yesterday the most concrete update to an incident that made headlines several months ago. He said the Complaints and Corruption Branch handled the complaint, investigated it, and the tribunal is currently reviewing the matter. He said a clearer update will be provided once the proceedings are complete. He declined to give further details. The complaint was made by Chinico Luises, who said her son came home in pain on Tuesday, January 28th, after being struck multiple times by this officer at school. She said the officer first questioned another boy about his GPA before allegedly hitting him 8 times. He then accused her son of being rude, and after the boy said he didn't know why, allegedly struck him 10 times with a black police cane. And see, here's what I'm saying. You remember being a child when your parents ask you why you're being rude? Did you have an answer? No, you didn't have an answer because you didn't know why you were being rude. I mean, think about what happened in that moment. You asked the boy, allegedly, why he's being rude, and he said he didn't know why, and then you beat him for that? Doctors at Princess Margaret Hospital confirmed tissue damage. Photos showed extensive bruising. The officer assigned to the Urban Renewal Division was not employed by the school and was reportedly on campus for unrelated matters. Since that means like they weren't there for school matter. Ms. Luisa said her son has been transferred to another class and is in better spirits. Why transferred to another class? The case had drawn public attention and criticism over delays. Ms. Luisa said it was transferred between departments before returning to the Complaints and Corruption Branch. DCP Andrews said 5 newly established tribunal courts will help speed up the handling of complaints. I don't care about the tribunal court. Why is it not before the courts? So first things first. Police deny holding back information over crimes, right? That's the headline. Y'all still haven't told us the name of the reserve officer who's not a member of the school resource officer team unit, is not a member of the school policing division, is a reserve officer, and you still haven't told us their name. And why are we talking about the tribunal? If only administrators or those authorized in law could administer corporal punishment, a reserve officer who the school says was reportedly on campus for unrelated matters ends up administering corporal punishment to a boy who he said was rude, and after the boy said he didn't know why, allegedly struck him 10 times with a black police cane. We don't even know the name of the individual, the reserve officer. The case that I read yesterday where the woman was put in the cell with a man and was assaulted, we don't know the name of the officer. And that case concerns me greatly because I feel it's similar to that where police and people look at you and say, oh, you think you's a man, eh? You think you's a man, eh? Let me show you with my, anyway. We don't know the name of plenty things, man. Police deny holding back information over crimes. Here's a text. Hi, Erin. Just like how the PM said, vote for me and I'll give you such and such, you citizens need to use your power to say, unless you stop using the Nationality Act to make people citizens and until you pass a real Freedom of Information Act and Campaign Reform Act, also, until you have all your ministers declare, until then, you can't get my vote. Remember, everyone in government works for the citizens. Bahamians have power. They just never use it. I mean, we thought we had power until last night. Keep your feet on their necks, police departments and the entire government. That's like, what they call that? That's not a literary device. It's like a satire. It's like pun because, you know, Floyd, George Floyd, foot on their neck. We're not being literal, although sometimes the police are very literal. Like, they don't know that it's the phrase is not meant to be taken literally. When they send them out on patrol, they say, keep your feet on their necks. Young people getting, they don't mean literally put your feet on their necks. They think violence is healthy communication. No, it's worse than that. I fear it's worse than that. I've had the fortune of interacting with new police officers. You could see they're young, they're fresh on the force, polite, wanting to serve. And then I've had some interactions with some young police officers who are obviously very afraid of the work that they're doing, and the way that they prepare themselves to go to work every day is to puff themselves up and decide if anybody could be the bully, I could be the bully. We see that generations of Bahamians now, especially those young men who experienced the Adelaide bus, right? When y'all used to just drive through like inner cities and communities where people were not lucky enough to have houses and yards to hang out in. And they just drive through and scoop you up off the road and take you out to Adelaide and beat you. That's what the old folks say. You could imagine now a new young cop who attempts to bully a grown man who already been through the Adelaide bus experience and survived. Why are y'all doing this to these young police officers? Why are y'all not preparing them better to patrol, to govern the communities? Okay, so a couple more stories I have here today. I want to say good morning to Mr. Newry. Mr. Newry stepped in studio.
Hey, you good? How are you doing?
I good. I don't think your mic was on, though. There we go. I tell the people we're doing Man Down Mashup Wednesday.
Yeah, we good. I'm listening to you, Rat. I always enjoy when you speak.
Why, thank you. Sometimes a rant is necessary.
Yeah, man.
Because we are well into a police state. We already have communities where people should... police. What are you doing in this area, right? One of them is called Paradise Island. Office of the Prime Minister addresses controversy over contract allocation in Grand Bahama, Eyewitness News, 8th of April, 2025. The Office of the Prime Minister has completed a review of the decision-making process and timeline surrounding the publication of a list of contracts concluded with various vendors in accordance with the Public Procurement Act. The review was prompted by public discussions regarding a particular allocation included in the published list. There's a statement from the OPM on the OPM website. Just go to press room and it may be the first link on the page. The review was prompted by public discussions regarding a particular allocation included in the published list. In a statement, the OPM refuted claims by the opposition that suggested improper motives behind the allocation. The OPM assured the public that no malfeasance or improper intent had occurred concerning the contract in question. The OPM clarified that the inclusion of the contract in the list was the result of an administrative error. The contract, which had been previously paused by the Prime Minister before the list publication, was mistakenly included, leading to confusion. Explaining the context, the OPM outlined that there was and still is an urgent need for public works in Grand Bahama. An international financial organization had approved a pre-qualification amount with a particular vendor, which led the matter to proceed toward a conclusion. However, upon reviewing the situation, the Prime Minister instructed that the matter be put aside for further review. Unfortunately, that instruction was not reflected in the published list, contributing to the current misunderstanding. The vendor involved operates as a project manager, with the allocated funding not going to a single contractor, but rather to multiple contractors working in Grand Bahama. The OPM further reminded the public that the Public Procurement Act allows for the single sourcing of contracts under specific conditions. The review by the OPM is ongoing, and once it is concluded, a statement will be issued outlining the revisions in accordance with the Public Procurement Act. So let's start at the bottom. If the Public Procurement Act allows for the single sourcing of contracts under specific conditions, why didn't you tell us in your press statement what the specific conditions were that would have prompted you to use that option in the Public Procurement Act for a single sourced contract?
I didn't understand it like that, no. I thought that they mislabeled the $3 million. That it should have been placed in another column, which went bin.
Okay, that's cool. I don't read it like that at all.
Okay.
I mean, and I think that what you're speaking to, when we read the vendor involved operates as a project manager.
Okay.
Right? Like maybe what they're saying is it's technically not a single source bid, because technically they're the project manager. And they're not doing the work. They're just managing the multiple entities that will receive funding, right? But to me, it feels like you took something out of the trash can and then It should have been put back in the trash can. And it didn't get put back in the trash can. Mm. And the Prime Minister said, we're prepared to put it right next to the trash can. So
my concern about it is that the last sentence, that they plan to give a subsequent report on what on the findings. I'm still waiting on the report about the anniversary of the Bahamas, the 50th anniversary of the Bahamas.
Golden Jubilee expenditure report?
Yeah. So knowing that, it seems that we'll never get that. See, I'm still looking for the report for the missing file, O'Brien file.
We're still waiting for the investigative report in the 2018 generated file.
Yeah, see, with that, I have no confidence. I don't confidence in them saying that they plan to come back with the information.
Let me read that sentence that you referenced. The review by the OPM is ongoing, and once it is concluded, a statement will be issued outlining the revisions in accordance with the Public Procurement Act. Eyewitness News also posted administrative error short clip before they posted the print story. The Davis administration made an administrative error regarding a publicized no-bid contract that awarded $183 million to Abaco Caribbean Holdings Limited, an affiliate of Bahamas Striping Group of Companies, for the paving of roads in West Grand Bahama. Communications director in the Office of the Prime Minister, Latre Ramming, addressed the issue days after the government was accused of granting a hefty contract to a local vendor without competitive bidding, as required by the Public Procurement Act. Ramming insisted while parts of the nation's city are in desperate need of infrastructural upgrades, PM Davis, upon reviewing the situation, said, we can put it on the side for a minute. Ramming dismissed opposition's criticisms that the government engaged in willful wrongdoing stemming from the no-bid contract. The $183 million deal was published in one of two lists revealed by the Ministry of Finance and the Public Procurement Department, which detailed more than $190 million worth of government contracts awarded between December 1st, 2024 and January 31st, 2025. So $190 million worth of contracts awarded in 2 months.
Yes. And then one was $183.
So the others were just seven?
Yeah, small money.
Is that why it was on the... I don't want to speculate.
Yeah, it leaves room for speculation, unfortunately.
But my greater concern is that we're going to hear a lot of, oh, it was an administrative error.
Yeah.
Without actually telling us what the administrative error was. So, I mean, like, you just need to tell us what the error was. I think that's important. Okay, here is another text.
Someone just hit my car in the parking lot. Just get a text.
No, Yuri. No, man.
She just hit my car.
Yeah. I love talking about traffic.
In the parking lot. I get a text now. Someone just hit your car and left.
And they drove off. And they didn't say nothing.
And they drove off. And they didn't say nothing.
See why my horn worked the way my horn worked. I want to say to the driver this morning that recklessly and carelessly entered the flow of traffic with no regard for the cars that had the right of way and almost caused a collision. When I blew my horn to say, hey, be careful, you almost caused a collision. The person stopped their car like they was going to brake check me. Then they poked their head out the window to say, like, why are you blowing your horn?
Do I report that to police?
Yes. I mean, it was in a private lot, right?
Lot, yeah.
But still report it to police, right?
The car's still damaged.
And then take the police report to the businesses in the area. Tell the police you need assistance in identifying the vehicle using the CCTV in the area.
I didn't have CCTV.
I didn't say that. I said go to the businesses, but it'd be better if you have a police report to go with to the businesses, right? Because you want access to the CCTV footage so you could identify the culprit and sue them yourself. Turn your radio down.
What's the nearest police station?
I mean, they got CDU right up here, right?
Lord have mercy, this will be all day.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Yes, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. That's Mr.
CA, well, he's wasting his time. He's totally wasting his time. But someone hit my vehicle in the parking lot, right?
Uh-huh.
And the person who worked the Scotia Bank, I found it, right?
Uh-huh.
And the run up and down I had to do for them to pay me to fix my car. And on top of that, I found out the lady who hit my car, and then she had attitude with hitting my car, and then tell me how much she can pay me to hit my car.
Mm-hmm. She can tell you how much she can pay you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had three options to do. I could have given her the educational answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could give her an emotional answer.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could give her the Bahamian folk sales experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, end up in CDU.
And then Fox Hill.
And then Fox Hill.
Mm-hmm.
You see where I'm from?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so tell me, you run the Pandani Gundu, or you really frustrate him. Just go to the ATM, if you will find a place in there, and just decide to go to 40-60 car.
Thank you, caller. Thank you, caller. Listen, all the CCTV in this area, I identify in that person, and I broad... good morning, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Neri. Good morning, Bahamas. Papa,
how you do?
I saying to myself, I could understand the place in the way this car saying they make a mistake. But this thing with the prime minister...
No, pause. Stop. When you make a mistake and you hit somebody's car, especially in front of a business, you take a picture of the vehicle, right, including the license plate and the disc on the windshield and the damage. And you take a picture of your license plate,
yeah,
and your driver's license, and you go into the establishment and you say, "Listen, I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. I hit a car in your lot.
Yes.
I need to identify myself to the owner of the car
right away." Right.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Supposed to do that right away.
Sir. And then you go to the person, and then you say, "Look here, I hit your car, and to be honest with you, I broke. I ain't got no money. I don't know what we could do. But you need to start thinking of something, because I out of ideas." And I just start thinking. Because we have so many Christians in this town and so little integrity.
Words don't mean nothing.
No. If it was a mistake, then you go in and you said,
yeah,
I made a mistake.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I was using that for example.
Yeah.
I hear that, Mr. Neri. That happened to you.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe they get something over video camera there.
Now you see where I park my car, right?
He's hiding.
I tried to park it on the roof.
On the roof.
Like the people let me in Breezes and Takes and Cakers.
Yeah, so I saying that the government saying that they error, right? Administrating error, right?
Mm-hmm.
A mistake. But why, if it was a mistake, like the example you give it, the person who hit Neri car, what they supposed to do? Why the government didn't say something quicker than this, like 2 or 3 weeks? I mean, if we didn't say nothing, I don't know who brought it to our attention.
Mm-hmm.
But why, if it was an error, administration error, why they take so long to answer us? And if it's, when the administration make error, what, you leave the person right there? Like how Latre Raman is the director of communication, and his deputy director still there, who signed something a couple of weeks ago. What they ain't supposed to sign?
I don't know. No? Don't. I thought you was going to talk about how Latre Raman having a sausage and white rice competition. Let's not go there. Thank you, Papa. But when I say let's not go there, because that is such a high-level issue that I would need to see some documentation in front of me to engage that conversation. I just want us all to be in the clear. I thought she was going to talk about Latre Raman sausage and white rice pot competition he's having. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Mr. Neri.
Morning.
Yeah, Ms. Green. I don't want to talk about politics and the conversation with Pop or something, because my concept is if 30,000 of us or 40,000 of us don't gather downtown, then they will continue to do this. And so I wanted to talk about a traffic scenario that frightened me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was by a client some time back. They live on one of them mountains in Garden Hill, right? I went to put up some corners board in the lady house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a Ford Ranger park in the driveway. And it was a road. And so it was a lady came out of her yard, and she had hit my truck. She had broken the light and did some damage to the rear of the truck, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, come to find out, she was a police officer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very inglorious looking. I don't know. She is like a police officer. So she said, you know, she would pay me this and she would pay me that. And so I went there. I called.
Hold on. Pause. Just 1 second.
House, right?
1 second, 52. You telling me the police officer didn't insist that y'all follow the law and do the right thing?
I want to finish the story.
Yes, sir. I guess.
Shonda knows what type of people they have. Now, what I'm saying is, this lady, she never paid me. But so I went by the house one day to confront her as to the payments, et cetera, whatever. And she met me knocking on the front door, walking out of her yard. No, I mean, I was knocking on the front door, and as I was walking out of the yard, because the house was like on a hill, like, She asked me what it was like. She didn't, and she told me, she accused me. This is what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, this is what the lady said to me. And I got so upset. And I said, miss, you know, some union caused me to get in trouble. But what I want you to do for me is, seeing that we live on a plantation, and the plantation is a prison, pathetic planet, right? I want you to bring the professor on, somebody on, so that you can tell callers what they can say from what they cannot say legally. Because I listen to the radio in the States, and we are gagged. And it's criminal. You know, you should be able to say certain things on the radio. And I mean, without calling people names. But like I said, during the pandemic, we saw this. So it is frightening for me that lies will take prevalence, right? And the truth will be hidden and forbidden. And that's just the way I see it. I can't accept what people tell me, not even if they are professional, because everybody can be bought or caught.
Thank you, 52.
I can't. I have my own ideas. Bless up.
Thank you, 52. Okay, so... I'm not sufficiently familiar with the U.S. rules to make a comparison in this moment, right, of the rules that govern the media in the U.S., the rules that govern the media here. What I can say is this, though, if we're serious, then we're going to organize ourselves, resources and time and energy, and we're going to launch a campaign to have the what criminal libel law? Criminal libel legislation, have that repealed, removed, eradicated. That's a beginning. That's a real concrete step. That's a real concrete step. Text there, crime, that reminded me, do you recall the weekend the PM sent the RBDF office to assist with the fire in GB? I remember being shocked when the National Security Minister, the Prime Minister, and then Commissioner of Police all proclaimed, this is climate change. Worse, the Commissioner quoted the PM. An individual so said to have decades of investigatory experience. Can anyone, quote, unquote, look at a bush burning and determine this one is climate change? After questions were asked, the commissioner said they launched an investigation. I dug up an article from 2012. I think you shared it here on the show with the then fire chief detailing how human activity starts some of these fires. I also mentioned that a mentally challenged man was found to have started some of the Abaco fires. We need more information, like which fires, what year, when. Yet the climate change line continued. Lo and behold, hidden in the paper this week, the police arrested a homeless man in GB for starting multiple fires there. Facts should not be muted, even if uncomfortable. Otherwise, when we get what we want, we'll find the good. People we choose are continuing the cover-up. Okay, so, was that in Bahama News section? The GB man arrested for starting multiple fires. Should that have been front page news? I think it should have been front page news. Text. I'm surprised no one is even questioning if maybe saying that the contract was an error might be fabricated. And the text goes until they fully explain. Another text. Now that Ismaelian has won one and two, twice on the appeal, we expect to hear a comprehensive response from PM Davis. Alas, name-calling and rhetoric from Minister Mitchell is no longer acceptable, as all that talk got knocked out like gas on a wasp nest. Another text. Great show as usual. Get to Adelaide and get betting and survive the good old days. I think they're saying you get better service out there. I gotta go try that. All right. It was in the Tribune. Thank you. Text. I'm gonna go find that story. Here's what I have a problem with. It's not really a problem. It's not even a problem. I understand why it happens, right? Not every story that is posted, that's printed in the paper, will make it to the digital site. The website of the paper, right? Not every story makes it there. And so if I misplace my paper, or if I give it to somebody, because people like paper, if I give it to somebody in the evening when I'm going through the news, I may miss a story because it's not on the website. Okay, we're at the end of the hour. Here are more topics to be discussed in the second half of this Man Down mashup Wednesday, where we combine On the Clock and Guardian Radio AM. We have SCB, that's the Securities Commission of the Bahamas. Creators Alliance operators can face summary conviction fines of up to $100,000 per offense. And then we've got some Creative Alliance stories. Where are the ambulances? I've got a list of stories from 8th of April 2025 to 2015 that we're going to go through to figure out where are all the ambulances, and then some stories that we didn't even get to today. Pintard promises to include more women and young Bahamians in FNM administration. Mitchell says two sitting PLP MPs indicated they won't run again. And in today's paper, we don't want Vaughn Miller to run again. I didn't know. I thought Vaughn Miller. Oh, wow. I forgot about Vaughn Miller. We don't want Vaughn Miller to run again. These are all stories coming up in the second hour when Guardian Radio AM with CA Newry takes over the Man Down Mashup Wednesday. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.